Welcome to the Focus Church podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
I started this church when we were 24 years old, three kids in diapers, and to God be the glory, my kids aren't wearing diapers anymore, praise God. And I'm not 24 anymore, and my hairline shows it, praise God. And I think they have a photo from our very first Sunday just as a throwback picture of nostalgia. I don't know if they can throw that up there or not, but God has been so good to us. And that was our very first Sunday in old Baucom Elementary School. And 155 people showed up to that elementary school. 11 people gave their lives to Christ on our very first Sunday. Someone must have taken that photo with an Android phone. We baptized three people that month, and to God be the glory. We've continued to baptize people. We're coming up on our 1,000th baptism over the last 11 years. Come on, let's thank God for that. That's a big deal. I don't care how big the church gets. I care how big heaven gets. I don't care how many seats there are here. I care how many souls there are up there. And I found this verse in the book of Job 8, chapter 8, verse 7. It says, your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. We're just getting started. Yeah. 11 years is just a preteen, maybe fifth grade, sixth grade. We're just starting to discover who we are as a church. We're in our preteen phase, and the best is yet to come. I don't know about you, but I love knowing that our memories do not exceed our dreams as a church. Today I'm going to talk about vision, and it's important that all of us have clear vision for the future. If you visit a nursing home, they talk about the good old days. They have a vision for the past. If you visit a high school or a college campus, they have a vision for the future. When your memories exceed your dreams, the end is near. That's why when you go to a nursing home, they talk about their memories. They don't talk about their dreams of the future because the end is near. But at this church, our memories do not exceed our dreams. We're not talking about what God did in Brownsville or what God did in Toronto or what God did in Lakeland. We're talking about what God is going to do in the future. So prosperous will our future be. Collectively as a church, we have a vision. And then individually as a Christian, you too should have a vision from God. Yes. That's what I'd like to preach to you on today. As we conclude in our series, The Miracles of Jesus, I'd like for us to look at Luke 18, beginning in the 35th verse, about when Jesus restores a man's sight. If you've lost your vision, if you've lost your sight, if you've lost your focus today, no pun intended, you came to the right place. It's interesting because restoring sight is the most frequent miracle in the gospel. As a matter of fact, food was multiplied twice. Three people were raised from the dead. But there are eight different occasions of someone receiving their sight. One time Jesus spits on someone's eyes. Another time he takes clay. Another time he has so many different methods. And I think what it does is it shows us the character of God, that he's interested in a personalized miracle. Right. That miracles aren't manufactured at the Amazon Prime factory. Right. That you don't get it like they got it. You get it how God wants you to get it. Yeah. That there is a specific personalized nature of the character of God, that when he comes through for you, he will come through for you in a way that maybe he didn't do it for your cousin. So don't judge how God is working in someone else's life, because you have no idea what the process is and what the presence of God is doing in their life. It might be different than your breakthrough. So we just celebrate all that God does in any way that he decides to do it. Interestingly enough as well, there are no blind eyes opened in the Old Testament. There are a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament that were miracles or miraculous or the hand of God. Never was there recorded in the Old Testament a blind eye being opened. That only happens in the New Testament, which I think shows us how passionate Jesus is about our personal issues, how passionate Jesus is about our specific needs. Luke 18:35. Are you okay with me preaching a little bit today? I would say I lost my voice in the first service, but I lost it yesterday. Luke 18:35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now we know this from the book of Mark that this man's name is Bartimaeus. In the original language, Bar means son of, and tame means unclean. So literally he was named based on his father's uncleanliness. Son of unclean is his name. He was named based on the sins of his father. He was named based on a generational curse that had carried over into his life. I don't know about you today, but we serve a God that breaks the chains of every generational curse that has come into your life. You are no longer Bartimaeus, son of unclean. Bartimaeus saw his whole life as a result of his father's sin. Some of you see your whole life, I'm just addicted to this because my dad was addicted to this. I'm angry because they were angry. I'm an alcoholic because they were an alcoholic. I'm divorced because they were divorced. My kids are far from God because I was far from God. And I want to let you know, here at this church, we believe in the power of not naming you by your issue or naming you by your curse or naming you by your sin. But instead, you received a new name when you came in to Christ. You are not the son of unclean. See, this is what I wrote in my notes. It got to me, but it stops at me. Ooh, ho, 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 ho. It got to me, but it stops at me. Anger got to me, but it stops at me. Addiction got to me, but it stops at me. Poverty got to me, but it stops at me. The demonic attack got to me, but it stops at me. Anxiety got to me, but it stops at me. Depression got to me, but it stops at me. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but you have the power to stop every generational curse that was handed down to you by the sins of your father and by the sins of your mother. It might have got to you, but it'll stop at you. Can somebody give him some praise? Ain't nobody saying nothing in this church. Ain't nobody saying nothing in here. It got to me, but it stops at me. My parents were missionaries, man. Poverty. Basically, you sign up for poverty. Seriously. My mom was washing Tupperware, paper plates. Reuse it, you know? Not at me. It might have got to me, but it stops at me. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. He was marked by his parents' issues, but Jesus specializes in dealing with the unclean, the messed up, and the broken families. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. He uses two of his senses that do work. Right in that one verse. He uses his ears for hearing. And he uses his mouth for provoking a question. Some of you are so obsessed with what you do not have that you've neglected to use what you do have. And you can't see the miracle with your eyes, but yet you've diminished the value of your hearing. You might not have your dream job, but at least you got a day job. You might not have found the one for you, but at least let God use this season of singleness for. Don't just sulk in the sorrow of what you do not have, but strengthen the senses of what you do have. I might not have everything I need, but I do got a voice to praise the Lord. I do got hands to lift. I'm preaching today. He might not have sight, but he could hear. He might not have sight, but he could speak. Yeah. Don't let one circumstance in your life limit all the other circumstances that are in your life. Get up, walk, talk. Mm. I can't sing, I'll tell you that right now. But I can preach, boy. I gotta use what I got. You don't want me using what I don't got. It'll sound like a cat dying, even in the shower. Verse 37, they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. You got to appreciate a man who doesn't have the victim mindset. You got to appreciate a man who doesn't have victim mentality. You got to appreciate a man that will use what he's got to get what God has for him. I appreciate families in this church that don't live under the curse of their forefathers. Don't live under the curse of their past. They don't have victim mindsets. They're like, is that Jesus? I know what Jesus can do for me. Verse 38, he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Why does he say have mercy on me? I'm so glad you asked. Mercy is different than grace, if you're taking notes. Yeah. Grace is a gift we do not deserve, while mercy is not getting the punishment we do deserve. Let me say it one more time. Grace is a gift we don't deserve, while mercy is not getting the punishment we deserve. We deserve death, hell, and the cross. But because of our Messiah takes away the sins of the world, he is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation, the payment for our sins. We have received the mercy of God. We should all be blind. We should all be dead. We should all be broken. There is nothing that we could possibly do that would have redeemed. He knew who he was talking to. He was talking to the Son of David, the one who carries mercy. Although we deserved death, he took it on the cross. Those who led the way rebuked him. Help me, Lord, with the Pharisaical spirit. And told him to be quiet. But sometimes you're so desperate, he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't you think the confetti cannon is a little much? All the more. Put more confetti in it. Don't you think the hooping and hollering is a little much? Do it some more. Don't you think the cupcakes, couldn't we have used that money and given it to the people? All the more. I will not live under the pressure of a Pharisaical spirit that says I can't get the miracle that God has from me. Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm going to shout all the more, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not going to let your attitude keep me from my miracle. I'm not going to let your mindset keep me from my miracle. I got to shout all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. If I would have listened to every person that told me not to plant the church, wouldn't be here right now. If I would have listened to every person who didn't like me 6 years ago when we merged two churches together, I wouldn't be here right now. If I would have listened to people who told me video teaching isn't going to work in Raleigh, I wouldn't be here right now. The South Campus wouldn't be here right now. The West Campus wouldn't be here right now. If I would have listened to every person that says church in a movie theater is hard, we wouldn't be here right now. If I would have listened to everyone who said church in a school is hard, I wouldn't be here right now. All the more. Sometimes you got to worship like it's already happened. Son of David, have mercy on me. I got to get through these verses. I keep this thing here so that you can't see how many pages I got left. Shout all the more. Praise God. Jesus stopped. When's the last time your shout stopped Jesus? When's the last time your prayer life stopped Jesus in his tracks? When's the last time your request before God was so big it was outside of your ability to do it on your own? And you say, God, this is bigger than myself. I need the Son of David to have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him, which just feels like a prank. Asking a guy who can't see to come close to you. Like, Jesus, he can't see. He can't see real good. Why don't you go to him? Jesus is like, no, I need him to take steps of faith before he can see. So that 2,000 plus years later, there could be a church in Raleigh, North Carolina, where the preacher says, some of you need to take blind steps of faith and go ahead and start that thing. Go ahead and get out of that toxic relationship. Go ahead and step into your future, because on the other side of your blind faith is a miracle that's waiting. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, I love this question. Ooh, good question, Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? He could have said anything. If money was on his mind, he would have said, I need silver and gold to get through the day. If clothing was his need, he would have said, I need a new coat to stay warm since I'm having to beg on the side of the road. But I bet you he had prayed to God a big prayer. So much so that when Jesus asked him, he knew what to say. Some of you think that this is a no-brainer. That you, if Jesus asked you what you wanted, you would know exactly what to say. You better be ready when Jesus asks you what you want for him to do. And don't be selfish. And don't limit your expectations with your carnal mind. But with big faith, ask God to do the miraculous. But you must confess what you want. And he could have said anything. But he chose to say this. He says, Lord, I want to see, he replied. And in the original language, it's even so strong. It's even much stronger. It says, I want to be restored to full sight. I want full restoration. I'm not looking just to have blurry vision from no vision to kind of seeing. He says here, I want my full sight restored. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Your praise is contagious.
Yes, it is.
Your miracle is contagious.
Yes, it is.
Why do we come together and assemble under the name of Jesus at all of our locations? Because we believe that when our faith is joined together, our praise becomes a weapon for the problems we face.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we love your word. It's so clear and so helpful, so relevant. It is not old or obsolete or irrelevant. It is an absolute truth upon which we stand. It's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. It is strong and sharp. We submit to your teaching today, God, because we know that it stretches us and challenges us and changes us. We didn't come here just to celebrate your faithfulness. We came here to also see what you have in store for us as a people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like to start with one question for you today, and that is this. Have you lost your vision? Have you lost your vision? I'll be quick, but many of you probably can see with your natural eyes, but maybe you've grown weak in your vision eyes to see what God has for you. I don't know about you, but as a church, I don't ever want to lose our vision. I could take you to many churches around town and around the country that they might be meeting, but they're not seeing. They're gathering, but they haven't seen. I wake up with a great fear. My fear is that one day our memories will exceed our dreams. And we'll say, remember when, instead of I can't wait until. You, as a believer, you have to have a God-sized vision for your life. I'm not sure how many people need physical healing of their eyesight today. We believe in that too. And you can receive prayer with our prayer team. We believe that God can heal you of your physical eyesight. But I know a global problem, a universal issue, a corporate church condition is sometimes not our physical blindness, but our spiritual blindness. And I've come to help you with vision today. Helen Keller said it best. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. And you've heard this verse if you grew up in church like I did. I was in church 9 months before I was born. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Other translations say they perish, meaning if you can't see clearly, you die early. If you can't see, you die. If you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't have God's vision for your life, you end up dying. I don't know about you, but they say that Florida is where America goes to die. It's like the retirement capital of, you know what I'm talking about? Florida is like, where are you moving to? I'm moving to retire. Where are you going? We're going to Sarasota, you know, where America goes to die. Why? Because now their memories exceed their dreams. They no longer have a vision for their future, they just want to relax in their past. I have something in my house too that really, if you bring it to me, it will die. It's a house plant. Some of you have a house plant. And you didn't. You had a vision in the grocery store for that succulent. You had a vision for the Instagram post you were going to make with your coffee cup and everything. The aesthetic. What happened? Life got in the way. You got busy. And without vision, it dies. If you give me a house plant, my house is where house plants go to die. My house is the Florida for house plants. It ain't gonna survive in my house. I got 4 kids, one wife, 2 dogs, a bearded dragon, and I got a lot of other stuff to do. I don't got a vision for the house plant. Why? When I don't have a vision, I don't maintain it. When I don't have a vision, I don't think about it. When I don't have a vision, I don't prune it, I don't water it, I don't care for it. When you don't have a vision for your life, it ends up dying. When you don't have a vision, it ends up dying. Here's what I've realized. When I don't have a vision for my destination, I will always be detoured by every distraction. If I can't see the future, then I will always be detoured. You've met that person. They got a new car every 6 months. This is the car. You met that person. They got a new job every 3 weeks. I go, I really feel good about this one. This one's the career. This is it. Come on, now don't elbow them, but you met that person, they got a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend, this is the one, you know? They got a new business idea, a new venture, come on. If you're distracted, a lot of times it leads to being defeated because you actually take detours instead of looking at your destination. I don't know about you, but I can't get distracted as a pastor. Amen. I got maybe 30 good years in me, that would mean 29 years left to preach this gospel, and according to my search last night, there are 2,106,463 people in the Raleigh region, and last time I checked, we don't have enough seats to even hold 1%. We got a lot to do. We got clear vision. We have to be a church that has a vision for the lost. We have to have a strategy to disciple the found. We have to have a plan to reach the world. And the solution to everything is a God-sized vision. Amen. When someone has vision, they can't be distracted. When someone has vision, they can't be deterred. When someone has vision, they can't be defeated. As a matter of fact, it says in Acts 2, 17, all the Pentecostals getting excited whenever you say Acts 2. They love it. They're like, get out the courtesy blankets. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on who? All people. That's what I love about this church. Look down your row. Ain't nobody look like you. Why? Because we believe in an Acts 2 church where God's spirit is poured out on all people. Sunday will not be the most segregated day of the week here at this church. We will not be the white church down the road from the black church. And we will not be a black church pastored by a white guy. People are confused when they come. Y'all confuse people when they come to this church, man. If we had to check a box as a church, we wouldn't. We would just put other. Yes. We would put heaven is what we would put. Because every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, every background, every socioeconomic status, every age, every stage, every color, and every race will worship the Lord our God. If you don't like this church, you will not like heaven. We got languages now. We got 2 languages. Gloria a Dios. Cristo vive. If you have someone who is a primary Hispanic or primary Spanish speaker, invite them to our noon service. It is now bilingual. Come on, somebody. Gloria a Dios. Preacher, I just want you to preach the word. I don't understand half the words they're saying. Just come to the 9 a.m. with all of your other friends. They're all here. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, multiple generations. This is a multiple generation church. That's why every Sunday it might get old to you, but we will remind you that we have ministry happening for your children. It is not daycare. It is not childcare. It is church.
That's right.
It's church. We're going to raise godly young men and women who will not look to the left or to the right, who will not deconstruct. They will remain faithful. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will what? See visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Whew. See, it's interesting. It says that when the Spirit is poured out, it's actually an outcome of an outpouring. This is what I wrote in my notes. One outcome, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is people receiving a vision from God. Oh, I know that you're Pentecostal. You probably grew up like me. Acts 2, you just want to speak in tongues. You could speak in tongues till you're blue in the face, but if you don't have a vision,
that's right,
if you don't have a purpose,
right,
if you don't have a mindset that says, I am here on a mission to see people saved.
Right.
See, one of the outcomes of the Holy Spirit when he's poured out is that young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams.
Right.
Will we speak in tongues? Of course, we love that stuff. Will we come to the altar and stop, drop, and roll? Of course, we love it. Will we put oil? Yeah, of course, we do those things. But without vision, we die. Without vision, it's just a show. Without vision, it's just a religious performance. We need our young men to see visions, and we need old men to dream dreams. Because without a vision, the people perish. Vision is the language of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get our vision back? You ask such good questions. I put them on the screen for you because I know you're asking. Have you lost your vision? Maybe so. How do we get it back? Number one, vision is restricted by sin. If you lack vision, it's probably because there's sin in your life. You wonder why you can't move forward. It's because sin is cyclical. It will keep you in a holding pattern. God can't bless what you don't reveal. God cannot bless a double standard or who you pretend to be. Vision is opened when you get sin out of your life, when you come to God with pure hands and clean hearts. Now, I'm not talking about some sort of religious performance. What I am saying is it is our job to keep sin out, and it is our job to keep the Holy Spirit hot in our lives.
Right.
See, sin muddies the water. It destroys your sight. I can't see nothing. I can't see nothing because I've got sin between me and God's vision for my life. I can't see nothing. Why can't I have breakthrough? Why? Well, because you're doing the same things you did before you were saved. Because you post a verse one day in your story and then you booty dancing in the other story. Because you want to serve on the greeting team, but then you want to be a greeter at the nightclub at the same time. You want to be blessed financially, but I checked your giving report and it's a goose egg. You got sin in your life because you're not being obedient. Am I preaching today? Y'all want me to take these off so you can? I'll look at you in the face if I got to. I have no problems today. It's my birthday party today, so I feel fine. Some of you can't see because you got sin in your life. You can't come to God with those hands knowing that you need to repent. And what happens when you repent? You start to be able to see clearly. What happens when you repent?
Yes,
is you begin to start to see again. You can start to actually have a fresh vision for your life.
Right.
See, sin muddies the water. Romans 8:5 says this: those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The mind of the flesh is what? Guard your mind. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So what do you do when you don't have vision? You got to go back in history and you got to think, when was the last time I had vision? Because this is what I wrote in my notes. When I can't see what's next, I need to make sure I was obedient in what came last. God, where am I disobedient in my life? Because for some reason, I can't seem to get the breakthrough I've been praying for. Rolodex your life. Where was I? Where did I miss God last? Second thing is this, Vision is restored by Christ. Vision is restricted by sin. Vision is restored by Christ. You cannot heal yourself. Do you know what healing yourself is? A New Year's resolution. How's that going for you in September? I got everybody's name today. I got everybody's number. How's that New Year's resolution go? Y'all remember January? Feels like forever ago. You can't do it yourself. Only Jesus can heal you. Only Jesus can restore your sight. Only Jesus can bring dead things to life. Only Jesus can shine light in dark places. It's not by my name by which you are saved. It's by the name of Jesus by which we are saved. We can try, but it's never going to work. Because if it's started by God, it has to be sustained by God. But if it's started by you, it can't be sustained by you. You'll be exhausted. He says, Lord, I want to see. He knew that he couldn't help himself see, so he needed Jesus. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Here's what I wrote in my notes. A God-sized vision for your life starts with a God-sized encounter in your life. You need a God-sized encounter today, church. There's nothing like having a word from God that will get you seeing the future more clearly. I could take you to the piece of carpet in Okeechobee, Florida. You know that little lake that shows up on the map of Florida? That's Lake Okeechobee. I used to be the youth pastor in the middle of nowhere. And I was with my friends. We were having tacos on a Tuesday. And this was before Taco Tuesday was even a thing. Long time ago. And we were dreaming together about what we could do for the kingdom of God. And I remember the Lord clearly, I could take you to that apartment. I could take you to where my friends were. And we said, what if we started a church? And if we started, we would call it Focus Church. And I got on the internet and I bought focuschurch.tv, the URL, focuschurch.tv. I thought it was cool. I renewed that domain name every year for 5 years before we even moved here. Because I had a God-sized encounter on that piece of carpet in Okeechobee, Florida. I said, if God gave it to me, I will see it all the way through. And some of you, you need to start praying for a God-sized vision and a God-sized encounter so that you can get your marriage back, so that you can get your family back, so that you can get your business back, so that you can get your energy back for the things of God. I renewed that. I've been praying for you 16 years. You might have only been here today. I've been praying for you for over 16 years. Where were you 16 years ago? I was praying for you then. Where were you 16 years ago? I was praying for you then. Ephesians 1:18. I'll close with this. Come on, John. Help me get off this stage. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling and his richest, glorious inheritance in the saints and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. It's got to come from him. Number three, vision has purpose. Oh, it's got a purpose, church. It's got a purpose. What was the purpose of this man receiving his sight? It was so that other people could praise him, so that other people could praise Jesus, so that other people could witness the goodness and miraculous move of God. Verse 43, immediately he received a sight and they followed Jesus praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Godly vision always involves these three things. Are you ready? Pursuing Jesus, praising Jesus, and proclaiming Jesus. Pursuing Jesus, praising Jesus, and proclaiming Jesus. Some of you, if you've never been water baptized, it's time to proclaim Jesus. Next Sunday is Water Baptism Sunday. It's a perfect opportunity for you to proclaim Jesus in your life. Don't just let a private decision never be proclaimed in public. Twointhetank.com to be signed up to be baptized. You can sign up. You can go to our water baptism banner in the back. Close with this. Vision gives pain purpose. Why am I going through this? Because I got a vision for my life. It's on the other side of the mountain. It's on the other side of this valley. It's on the other side of this struggle. It's on the other side of this challenge. You got to keep moving towards the vision. Like, I could stop, you know? We could stop. Pastor Chris, we could stop. Just bring all the campuses together. Have a cute little church service. No more money spent on campuses or cupcakes. We could stop. I'm not interested in stopping. Because God's given me a vision bigger than where we currently are. And I'm incredibly grateful for the last 11 years. But I am more expectant for the next 100. Some of you are going through something right now, and if you get a vision for your life, you'll be able to get through it. But if you don't get a vision, you won't know why, so you just get back into that same pattern. And then in Mark chapter 8, a different miracle, same result, but a different miracle. Jesus does the same thing twice because he asked the man who was blind in verse 23. Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and he says, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." What does that give us insight to? Well, this guy knew what trees looked like. What does that mean? He's seen trees before.
That's right.
This is not a man who was blind from birth. This was a man who had once had sight but had lost it. Some of you came and you lost it. You lost it. It's blurry today. Your vision for your family is blurry. You haven't been praying with your wife like you should. Your vision for your personal finances is blurry. You haven't been tithing like you should. Your vision for your faith in Jesus is blurry. You haven't been coming to church like you should. But he says this, verse 25, "Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly." We serve a God that is known for once more. You might have lost it. We serve a once more God. You might be broken. We serve a once more God that can restore it. You might be far from God. We serve a once more God that will give you another chance. You might be dead in your sin today like many of us were, but we serve a once more God. He came and sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could receive eternal life once more. Maybe as a kid you followed God, but you need a once more God. He's coming back. Maybe things look like trees. There's not much clarity. There's a lot of blurriness in your life. There's a lot of muddied water in your life. And you need clarity that comes from a once more God today. Came to the right place. Because we serve a God of second chances. We serve a God that no matter how far away you are from him, you are one decision from being right close to him. I pray for a once more vision for every family. I pray for a once more, once again, once more vision for every marriage. I pray for every person at the sound of my voice that might be far from God today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one scurrying around or moving, just give me 30 seconds. You say, "I'm blind spiritually. I've never seen. My heart is hard and dark. I have no access to the love of God. I am so far from him. I came in here today. Someone dragged me here today. I didn't know what I was going to encounter, but you've encountered God today and you need sight. Spiritually speaking, you need a fresh vision from God who knows the plans he has for you. Maybe it's been a really long time, or maybe never. You've never acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You came to the right place today. I'm going to give you one opportunity to make one bold move. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to shoot your hand up in the air when I say three. I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air. Now, shooting your hand up in the air will not make you saved, but it commemorates, it memorializes, it galvanizes and solidifies this moment as the day you decided to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe, spiritually speaking, you're going to get your sight. You're going to be able to see clearly for the first time ever. So if you're far from God today, you do not know him, you do not have a relationship with him, your life is dark, it feels like you're living in a cave, and you know you need Jesus and the light that comes from him and the sight that comes from him, I want you to prepare yourself right now when I say three. One, you say, "Preacher, you don't know me." I don't have to know you. The God of the universe knows you. Two, you say, "Preacher, am I going to be the only one that raises my hand?" I don't know. But I know this, when I was 8 years old, I was blind and dead in my own sin. And I decided to raise my hand and walk to the front of a church. And so I don't know the decision that you have to make today. You might be the only one, but I'm here with you. And I made that decision when I was 8 years old. There are many others around you that have already made that decision. So why don't you join the family of God so you don't have to watch the game from the nosebleeds? If that's you today, you're ready to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior. 1, 2, 3. Shoot your hand up in the air very high. Shoot it up high. 1, 2, 3. Shoot it up high. Keep it up. Keep it up at all of our locations. Keep it up high. Acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want your sight back. You want spiritual sight at all of our locations. Shoot your hand up in the air. Someone's going to bring you a little card right now. Keep it up until you get a card. If you have not received a card, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. We're robbing hell currently. Thank you, Lord. In just a minute, we're going to pray, but if you just raised your hand, you received one of these cards. It says, I found Jesus at Focus. It's got a little QR code on the back. It's got a little place for your name, email, and phone number. If you take that to our Life Change banner in the back, we want to put a brand new Bible in your hand and get you signed up to be water baptized, because it's the best next step for those who just received Christ. In just a minute, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask that even those who are already saved, already acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would join me in on this prayer so that we can all celebrate the fact that we have plundered hell and populated heaven today. All those who just raised their hand and all of those who are saved, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, I give my life to you. I surrender and I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and I turn from my ways and I look forward to eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's clap our hands at all of our locations for those who just gave their life to God.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of so many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now or share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.